We want you to follow along with us if you can and will. And we're going to be sharing some things. I believe it's going to have some answers for some people tonight. Lots of answers tonight. Amen. I almost get emotional about it. It's just what God has put in our heart. I want to say that please do not miss Sunday or, you're here tonight, but tonight and Sunday are going to kind of run together a little bit. So by the grace and help of God, we're going to move forward. Amen. Praise God. So tonight's topic in our teaching on the triumphant church, we're going to talk specifically, as we said Sunday, about the thief, how the thief comes in. How the thief comes in. And so just a quick review, and I'm going to go real fast. So if you got your handout, we're going to plug in those answers really, really fast. Well, let's go through the scriptures first. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by, through one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So it's making reference to us as kings and priests, and kings reign, not in afterlife, but in this life. Matthew 10:1 says, and when he had called the 12 disciples, he gave them power. Everybody say power.
Power.
I know you like to probably, perhaps the beautiful song, power belongs to God, but Jesus has delegated that power to us. Amen. And that's the word authority. Hallelujah. Over unclean spirits. So we have authority over the devil. Demons, evil spirits, to cast them out. So you've got the right, the privilege, and the authority to cast them out and to heal all kinds of disease, sicknesses, and all kinds of disease. Amen. Isn't that good? Luke 9:1-2 says, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Now he uses two different words, power and authority over all demons. How many demons?
Overall,
and to cure diseases, and then go down to verse 2 if you can, and he sent them to preach at the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Amen. Same thing we're to be doing today. Luke 10:19 tells us, behold, I give unto you authority. Greek word again, same word, exousia. To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power or the ability of the enemy. And nothing, everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now keep that phrase in mind, nothing shall hurt you. But we know that a lot of Christians are experiencing hurt. And so we're going to give some answers on why that happens. Because we're talking about how the thief comes in. Matthew 28:18-20. And like we encourage you, go back and read and meditate on these scriptures, because you need to, you know, the name of Jesus isn't going to work like a lucky rabbit's foot or a charm, lucky charm. You've got to understand and get revelation about your authority in the name of Jesus, your authority in Christ. Now, Jesus came and spoke to them and saying, all authority. How much? All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. And then he turns around and delegates us. Verse 19. Go. And Jesus, verse 19. And he said, go. So the implication is that we are going with his authority. See, Jesus didn't give us the responsibility to go without also delegating the authority to get the job done. So every one of us have been given authority. Go and make disciples of all nations. So do you have the power, the authority to do that?
Yes.
That was half, that was a few of you. Do we have the power and the authority to do this?
Yes.
Yes. So it's not up to God whether we do it or not. It's up to us. Baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. So he's not even leaving us. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. Now, we know the person of the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He dwells in us. So God is with us, and he's for us, and he's in us. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Amen? All right. And Matthew 16, our last scripture that we opened up with, 13 through 19, says, "And when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And so they say, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, 'But who do you say that I am?'" It's a question for all of us to answer personally. Who do you say Jesus? Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, Father God, who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter." In mind, it. Amen. Now keep all these things in context or in mind. "And I will give you the keys." So Jesus hadn't stopped talking. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, just as a quick note of reference, there's a heaven between the atmospheric heaven, which is the first heaven, and the third heaven where God lives, or God's, you know, the heavenly place of where all the people who die in the Lord go to. And so there's a second heaven, which is that spiritual realm of heaven where Jesus is referring to here. He's not talking about getting devils out of heaven. There's no devils in heaven, no demons in heaven, no thieves in heaven. So he's basically saying our responsibility is the things on earth in our sphere of influence, and he'll deal with the things up there in that spiritual realm, in that second heaven area, where it's out of our realm of influence. So Jesus, I'm going to go real fast because I want to really get to the second half of this, what we're talking about. So I'm going to go real fast. So make sure you got your pencils sharpened, your pens ready, plug in the answers. Jesus, our Lord, gave us keys to his kingdom. Keys. Keys represent authority and access to unlock and open and close things. And with these keys, so the first three points are keys, we are to, by faith in him, his word, and his great name, exercise our God-given, grace-given authority. So we are to exercise our God-given, grace-given authority. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
Where? Here on the earth in our spheres of influence. Authority is delegated, we said before, power. It is a grace-given, God-given right to what? Command. It's a grace-given, God-given right to command. So we get the right to command, and what we said, as Jesus said, cast out demons or drive out demons, as Mark's account says in the New King James Version, drive out demons. This authority we've been given is spiritual authority, because we're up against a spiritually defeated opponent, a foe, one who is arrayed against us. He is a spiritual being, but he is spiritually defeated. So he doesn't have power in that realm, the spirit realm, the faith realm, the realm of God. You've got been delegated power and authority in that realm. That's why when you contend with him, you have to keep him in that realm. You have to keep him in the faith realm. But his trickery, his mind games, his strategies, his deceptive tactics, his thoughts, ideas, and suggestions is always to bring us down into a realm where he can get to us. And he brings us down into that reason realm, the mental realm, the emotional realm, where the battle is in our mind. Because the spirit realm is dominant, preeminent realm. The spirit realm overrides, it overruns, and oversees the natural realm. So it overrides, it overruns, and oversees the natural realm. We must understand that authority is a grace from God activated and energized by our right standing with God or our righteousness with God. We have right standing with God as a child of God. Now, this is going to come to play when we talked about how does the thief come in. Because when we get out of our place, we get out of the grace. When you get out of your place, you get out of your grace. You have a place of the gift of righteousness. You reign in life by Christ Jesus. So you have to stay in that place to stay in that grace. If you don't, you fall on your face. And you let the thief come in and steal. Too many Christian believers have within their blessing and benefits, right, as we all do, a covenant right to prosper, to increase, to be blessed, to be healed, to have all these wonderful things from God. But then what happens? We get out of our place and we get out of our grace. So it is based on the finished works of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension. Now let's read Ephesians 1 through 16 real quick. And do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, why does he want us to get this wisdom? Because this wisdom reveals to us our position in heavenly places in Christ. That we're up against a defeated foe. That Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? If God be for you, who can be against you? He wants that you to have that revelation, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what? Three things. The hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glorious of inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. So he just doesn't want you to know your calling and know your inheritance, but he also wants you to know the power. Look at somebody next to you and say, God wants you to know God, to know his power. To those who believe. There's the caveat there. To those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where is this? Far above, how much? All principality, all and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is what? Named. Not only in this world, in this age, but which is to come. Praise God. Amen. So everybody say, I'm far above.
I am far above.
Now, principalities just simply means anything in the angelic class. Demons, devils, evil spirits are in that angelic class. So you're far above. You're seated far above. Everybody say, I'm far above.
I'm far above.
All demons,
devils,
and evil spirits.
And evil spirits.
Amen. Praise God. Power just means authorities. So any other authority is subordinate to the authority of the Lord. Might means strength and ability. Dominion is government or lordship. Every name that is named. So cancer is a name. Divorce is a name. Debt is a name. Lack is a name. Amen. Poverty is a name. Strife is a name. Confusion is a name. Dementia is a name. Diabetes is a name. High blood pressure is a name. You're far above that. Everybody say, I'm far above.
I'm far above.
Amen. Failure, defeat, and all that. That's a name. Now let's get these axioms covered real quick. Authority axioms. We covered them last week. Again, we're just quickly reviewing. An axiom is a statement accepted as true or as the basis for argument or inference, an established rule or principle or self-evident truth. So we said, number one, if you won't submit to an authority, you can't be in authority. Now that will come in play when we talk real big about it next on the next page. If you won't submit to authority, you can't be in authority. Now people sometimes don't like submission. It's an ugly word. Particularly in church.
Amen.
because they think it's subjugation. They think, well, I don't want nobody controlling me. But submission is good. Submission is a good word. When you don't take or release authority, you give your authority away. Now, if you want to get the more explanative scriptural details, we covered it last week. You can listen to the recording. Number three, whatever you don't dominate, you will be dominated by. So if you don't begin to dominate that sickness and disease that's trying to wreak havoc or bring incursion into your body, then it will dominate you. Remember we said in our previous teachings to a degree, and we mentioned it several times before, that Satan, sin, sickness, and sorrow are what? Synonymous. So you got to dominate sin, or it will dominate you. You got to dominate the devils or demons that try to come in and oppress you, or it will if you don't dominate them, then they will dominate you. If you don't dominate the sickness and rebel and resist the sickness that's trying to come in your body, just like you got to resist Satan just equally as fiercely as you resist sin and resist sickness. And resist sorrow, because you can't serve the Lord with madness or sadness. You got to serve the Lord. His requirement is gladness. Sister Ola read the opening scripture, Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, come. When you hear about a text or an email saying it's time to come to church, you ought to get glad. If you get upset, there's something wrong. The thieves come in and stole your joy, stole your gladness to serve or to come and sit under the word of God. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Number four, if it's not come what may, it is come what you say. Because your God-given, grace-given right to command is part of your authority functionality. It's not come what may, whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. God is in control. That's a lie from out of the pit of hell. You can't prove that in the Bible. You can't look around and say God's in the control, because God's got things in the mess. He left us dominion and authority to dominate and rule in Christ Jesus on the earth in our sphere of influence. What you allow, God allows. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's not come what may, it's come what you say. Number five, if you don't speak to the its in your life, then the its will speak to you. We saw in Luke 4:39 that Jesus spoke to a fever and it left her. Amen. You got to speak to the its under your authority, right, and privileges as a Christian believer and Christ follower. Number six, we contend with our spiritual foes from our position of victory and not for a place of victory. So we enter the contest or conquest or conflict with the enemy of our soul from victory, not for victory. The battle is the Lord's, the victory is yours. And you stand your ground in that place of victory and position of victory. Somebody say glory to God. The purpose of our authority is for us, number first, to take dominion. Second, to execute our God-given assignment. He doesn't give you rights and responsibilities without the requisite authority to get it done. Everybody has an assignment. Everybody say, I have an assignment. You have an appointment. You have an appointing. You have an anointing. You have an assignment. You have a grace. You have a race. Third, enforce spiritual laws. So part of our responsibilities is to enforce the laws of the Spirit. That means we got to sometimes talk to the enemy and say, it is written. When he tries to break the law in your life and bend the rules in your affairs and bring all the curses and the bad causes into your life experience, you got to put a stop to them. And say, thus said the Lord of God. Thus said the Lord. Amen. And reinforce Christ's triumph. So part of our responsibility to reign in Christ is to reinforce what he's done. He's defeated death, hell, and the grave. He rose victorious, not a victim. We ought to rise up every day and take our victory lap. Do our victory dance. Do our victory shout. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the back of the handout here. Our scope of authority means we can release and exercise, God bless you, our God-given, grace-given authority first in our homes. We got to get the homes right. Our immediate and extended families. We said it last week. You can use your faith. Like Kenneth E. Hagin said, he can use his faith out to his second, third cousin. So what is he doing? Using that authority to do what? Break the power of the devil over his relatives or his siblings. He started with the worst case, which was his brother, his older brother, and he broke the power of the devil over him and claimed his salvation and deliverance. He was an alcoholic and he was a chain smoker. He was a smokeaholic. And so he broke that power over him. Well, why did he do that? With his authority, his God-given, grace-given authority. Then he had to stand his ground by giving thanks and thanking him for that he's coming to the Lord, that he's saved. God did everything he did to save his brother, but he had to reinforce that salvation in his family, starting with his older brother. What do you have to do? You got to sit around and watch your relatives, your brothers and sisters go to hell in a handbasket? Your assignment is to do like Jesus, seek and save those who are lost. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, to penetrate your culture with Christ's light, Christ's love, and Christ's life. Are you listening to me? So we use that authority. We use that authority to minister God's healing power. You're a believer, and believers lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, and they shall what? Recover. Remember, we said sickness, Satan, sin, and sorrow are synonymous. So just as rigorous as you would deal with Satan, you deal with sickness. I'm laying hands on you according to the authority of the Word of God, in and by the authority of the name of Jesus. You be well. Recover now. Hallelujah. Set the captives free from Satan's snares, habits, addictions, vices, bondages. I mean, there's many testimonies I can go through. I'm not going to spend the time to do that tonight, but of ladies having children on drugs or cutting themselves or running away, and they would lay hands on their clothes in the name of Jesus, lay hands on their pillow, and they'd come home, and those demons that were harassing and molesting their children's minds, they had to leave because they can't stay here. Amen. You and I ought to be able to draw a bloodline around our house and say, and put a sign up in the spirit that says, keep out Satan. This means you. Amen. He ought not to cross your territory of your home. Amen. You know, there's other cases where they've done this with their husbands and stuff. You know, praying women. That's what, you know, praying men and praying women. It was mostly women that I have testimonies from. And they took authority over that stuff. Amen. They weren't going to let their husband be a womanizer and a drinker and a boozer and a beater. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Amen. Overcome fear and spirits of fear, depression, and poverty. Remember, if he can't oppress you, he won't be able to do. If he can depress you, he can oppress you. Excuse me, that's what I meant to say. If the devil can depress you, he can oppress you. If he gets control of your mind, he can control you. If he can defeat you in the mind, he can defeat you. And wrong thinking, as we'll kind of bring up again, wrong thinking opens the door for the thief to come in. Because your mind is not renewed in a certain area, and you'll think poverty, you'll think lack, and you'll think defeat, you'll think failure, and you'll think sickness. And you'll think that this is normal, and he'll deceive you and hoodwink you and constantly bombard you with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that this is all there is. You're going to struggle the rest of your life. You got to, number six, perform work miracles in Jesus' mighty name. Commission holy angels and powers to assist you and aid your situation on your job, in your business, in your ministry, in your legal affairs. Angels sent to help you, sent to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation. You've got employees, so to speak, who work for you. You might not just be, you just may be a part of a team at work or part of a one-man show in your business or career. You're the only person, but you do have angels who are called alongside to aid and assist you. They are heaven's assistants in your life. All right? So the thief comes to steal and rob us of our confidence and boldness to release our authority. Confidence has much to do about our faith and our fixed stance on the Word of God and in God Himself. Boldness gets stripped out of us when we have sin, unconfessed sin in our heart. When you're dealing with the enemy, the thief, you got to be a believer. Because you can't be like the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. They said that who rose up and said in that demon guy, he said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And that one man whipped seven people. You're no match with the devil if you're not a believer. And you won't have boldness to deal with the devil or the thief if you have unconfessed or unrepented sin in your heart. Because you don't deal with stuff. You got fear there. You got cowardice there. God did not give you and I a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and what? A sound mind. He does this mainly through the deceitfulness of sin. All sin deceives. Sin lets the thief in. How's the thief come in? Sin. We have to understand and have a healthy perspective and understanding of how he tricks us to get sin in. Because remember, he's not going to come at you with his strength or his mighty force. He's a defeated spiritual foe. He's going to come at you in your mind with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to bring deception, to bring the cunningness and craftiness, as the scripture says, to play mind games on you and to get you to take the bait. And he gets you in a trap where sin gets you out of God's power and out of God's protection. And it's like your house. You leave the back window open or the back door open or the side window open and something gets in. A thief never comes to your front door. If they're going to rob you, they come in where you can't see them. And that's how cunning or crafty the devil gets. Sin always deceives. The scripture talks about the deceitfulness of sin. How does he deceive us? Through the lies and deception. Genesis 3:3 tells us, can you put that up there? Genesis 3:1 and through 6, we see that he came who? He came where? He came to Eve. Look at that. He's more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God said? He didn't come at her like a monster with a pitchfork and horns. He came at her as a friend. You know, he probably threw a thought out there. Did God really say this? If you eat a tree, you, said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He came twisted. He twists God's words. That's why people come up with these phrases. God's trying to teach me something. He's trying to twist you to say God's doing this to you. God's keeping you sick. God keeping you broke. God keeping you sad. God keeping you depressed. Next thing he do, he has you quitting your faith and quitting faithfulness. This is how we resist him. And you let the protection hedge around you fall down, just like Job. That which I fear is greatly come upon you, and you left a thief in. And he's coming in. He's not. Jesus said he comes not but for to what? Steal, kill. He's coming to steal something from you. He's coming to steal your health. He's coming to steal your peace. He's coming to steal your joy. He's coming to steal your money, your prosperity. And when the woman said to the serpent, when we eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, we may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is not in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. You shall not touch it lest you die. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this Sunday. I'm trying to cover some ground tonight, so just be patient with me. Y'all praying with me? Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. He throws an idea out. It didn't originate from God. Because God said, if you eat this, you're going to surely die. But he gave her another idea. And you believe the lie, then things fall down. The lie is, well, God doesn't heal everybody. You know, Jesus was poor himself. He became poor. So poverty is okay. Huh? Y'all there? Y'all already left me already? Come on. Number five, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, the scripture tells us in John that all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He threw all three temptations at her, and she gave in and caved in. And she let the thief in. What did he steal from them? He stole the glory from them. He stole the whole earth, really. Because we credit Adam because the command and the directive gate was to Adam, but Eve was beguiled and deceived, and then she turned around and he fell with her. Same thing he does today. Well, praise the Lord. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and it was pleasant to eyes, lust of the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, pride of life, she took the fruit and did what? She took the bait. And people are still taking it. Now, devil hasn't changed today his method of operation. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And they fell from revelation to information. They fell from the glory of God into sin. They turn, and the scripture's principle is, in Romans says this, whoever you yield your members to serve those who you obey, you obey whoever you obey, you serve them. So they turned over their responsibilities and rights for the earth over to Satan. It's called high treason. He took it from them as a thief. And you have to be able to understand, what is he trying to take from you? Are you letting the thief in? What gets him in? Come on, church. What gets him in? Sin lets the thief in. All right, y'all here with me? He doesn't come approach us with brute force and physical strength per se, but cunning crafters, mind game, trickery of the mind, like a friend with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. You notice he's not yelling at her. He's not screaming at her. He's just talking to her. Through temptations that cause us to disobey. Now, I'm not going to cover those scriptures because that scripture because of time. And through doubt, fear, and unbelief that causes us to depart from the God. Those scriptures reference that. Disobey. Because when you tempted, he said, there's no temptation that has taken you but such is common. But some people think it's uncommon. What I'm going through, what am I'm experiencing, the pressure I'm under, the pain I'm going through, is unique. It's special some way, somehow. And no, it's not. He said it's common. Because God won't allow you to be tempted above than that which you're able, it says. In other words, you got to think right and say, if I'm in this, God already knew it, and he knew I can handle this. But the devil comes in and says, well, you just can't handle it, so put your faith down and put your faithfulness down and go ahead and sin. That means you get out another way than God has said. Amen. This is all from his orchestrated attacks and assaults to cause us to open an avenue and a way for him to steal from us, to rob of us of our fearless confidence, our boldness and command authority to deal with him because of the guilt, shame, and condemnation due to sin. And what did Adam and Eve do? When they sinned and fell, they went and what? They were guilty, they were in fear, and they hid. So their faith stopped, and their faithfulness fell apart. I'm going somewhere with this. And through this, he convinces us that sin is not a big deal and that we don't have to repent or confess sin. So we talked about that last week and a little bit on Sunday, you know, that grace-only teaching, that it's up to God. Whatever God says, good. God's in the control. That's a lie. God doesn't make you sin. If he's controlling people, he'd make everybody tithe and give offerings. But that's not the case. He'd make everybody come to church and stay in church. Well, praise the Lord. Let me keep going. I don't have time to meddle tonight. Okay. Two things God won't do for you. First, God won't receive for you. That's your part. You got to receive. You got to believe. You got to take what belongs to you. You got to sometimes take back what belongs to you. The enemy stole something from you, you got to take it back. Because he's done everything he could do and will do about the devil. You got to take your healing back. You got to take your prosperity back. To receive means to take. It's an active, it's almost connotation of violence. Because the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So faith is not a wimp and whiny. It's command authority. It's boldness and confidence. It's saying, devil, keep out. This means you. I command you to take your hands off my money. I command you to take your hands off my body. Hallelujah. Now, you can talk bold if your heart's right. See, the devil's not going to come up there and just charge clawing at you in the face. He's going to get you to think wrong, to believe wrong, and then act wrong. And then he gets you into sin, and that's how the thief gets in. He can't, won't receive for you. Secondly, he won't resist the devil or demons for you. Now let's work this last little part here. Our rights and responsibilities as Christian believers and Christ follows is to believe, receive, and take back what belongs to us in Christ. We're here to take dominion. The first purpose of our authority is to take dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over all the cattle, everything that creepeth on the earth, and to be fruitful, to multiply, to contribute increase and the advancement of the gospel and the kingdom of God in our world. You need authority to be able to do that. But God's not going to receive that for you. He's not going to make you take dominion for you. You've got to do it. Secondly, and two, resist the devil. How? Well, let's look at these scriptures real quick. Thank you, TJ. Put it up. Appreciate you. Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them believe in my what? In my name. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall drive out what? They will cast out what? Demons. Who's going to do it? The believer. Now, we're not telling you to be devil conscious or even sin conscious, but you need to sometimes deal with the devil. The devil doesn't take a day off. You might take a day off, but he doesn't. So the whole world, we said it before, is congested with hostile forces, and there you have to be aware. If the thief is coming in, things being stolen from you, taken from you, things, the blessings not working for you, something's got in there. Ephesians 4:27. These are action items to deal with resist the devil. Neither give what? Keep going. Go back to the 26th verse. You can go there. Be angry and do what? Sin. And do not what? Right in the middle of that verse is what? Nor give place to the devil. Now, the 21st verse says, don't lie. He's talking to born-again, spirit-filled Christian believers. Tell them, don't lie. And be angry, but don't sin. Because sin lets the thief come in. You open a way or an avenue for him to come in and steal from you. So that's why we said unresolved anger over past midnight, past the sunset. We call it the scriptural sunset rule. Past sunset will metastasize. It makes you homicidal or suicidal. You'll do something wrong to yourself or you do something wrong to others. And you'll walk out of love and get into sin. Particularly when you're harboring that thing. And when you got anger and anxiety coupled together, you got bitterness of soul. Amen. That's not a good thing. Because he said, let all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking, all of that stuff, not be a part of your life. Amen. James 4:7. Let's go there. Therefore, submit to God. There's that submission word again. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. He's going to run from you when you resist him, but after you submit to God. Now, remember we said the first axiom, if you don't submit to an authority, you can't be in authority. And you can't submit, say I'm submitted to God when you never submit to a man or woman, depends who's in authority over you. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:7-9, real quick. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So God tells you what to do with your cares. That's your anxieties. That's the anxiety side. He told you not to worry. Worry is a sin. And sin lets the thief come in. He said, now worry about your bills, worry about your family, worry about your kids that's running around doing stuff. You worrying about this, worrying about that. And you're sinning and you're letting the devil come in. It's worse smoking dope than walking around with doubt, fear, and worry and anxiety. I mean, it's worse doing that than smoking dope. Some people think, but dope's a big deal. Fornication, adultery is a big deal. But worry is a big deal. It's spiritual contraband. Why? Because it lets the thief come in. That's why God said, don't do it, because you're going to open a window or you're going to open the back door to let the thief come in and steal from you. Let's keep going. Be sober. This is what he tells us to do. Don't be walking around intoxicated or drunk on your own problems or drunk on your own drama. Be sober. Be vigilant, because what? Your adversary. That's an opponent. That's a foe. That's one arrayed against you. the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. He may or may not, but he's looking for a way to get in. And if he knows you open up your mind to worry or unrighteous anger, whoop, you got a way in. And he'll start taking stuff from you. And next thing you know, it's like, wait a minute, what's happening to me? Keep going. Resist him. How? Steadfast in what? The faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody's going through, everybody's under, the devil hates all of us. Hallelujah. You got to resist him. You got to resist him. So what is sin? We'll talk about that next week. We'll kind of pick it up there, but maybe I'll mention a little bit of it on Sunday. But you got to remember that the thief, sin lets the thief get in, and then he steals from you. So you've got to practice resisting sin, and when needed, repenting from sin. That's why we said the characteristics of a spiritual pilgrim is what? To be quick to repent. You got to be quick to repent. You go weeks and days, and you know you're not doing what God told you to do, and all kinds of stuff's happening, and then that's just pride that just says, I'm not going to repent. And sometimes you got to fall on your knees. Amen. And say, Lord, I don't know why this is, you know, I'm getting so many assaults in my body, and they're effectively, I'm not getting a faith connection to my healing. Yeah. What's going on? Well, you probably open a door through sin. Now, the Lord will tell you that. I'm not here to judge you on that. That's the Lord, between you and the Lord. Are you listening to me? You could have opened the door through another way of disobedience or ignorance or sin of, you know, omission, where you forgot to keep up with what God told you to do. Amen. Now, I'm going to leave you with this thought. Why don't people submit? Because that's a big scripture. Submit to God, James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he will what? He'll flee from you. Well, some people, like I said, they don't understand that submission is the key to power and authority. You've got to be under an authority to be in authority. Jesus had the power already turned up on his life. He had the spirit without measure. Why? Because he said, I only do what I hear see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my what? He was completely surrendered and submitted to God, his Father. Now today you have the New Testament in its totality, where he revealed that, you know, he put these ministry gifts on the earth. And you know, we've shared it before. It's important how you relate to your pastor. You know, Sister Bailey was praying about it during pre-service prayer. It's so critical. Amen. Because there's certain things, they call it the headship anointing. It's not about how good or how special that individual is. It's the office that they stand in. And Pastor Cynthia, you should always say, you got to draw on the gift. Why? Because when you don't receive from the gift, you could be missing some things that the anointing provides you. Because the anointing provides, but it also protects. But see, when you're under cover of that authority, that protection runs down. And we talked to you about relating to the pastor in the context of if the lack of the honor walk and the love walk in relationship to your pastor stops or slows down, it dries up the anointing. It stops up the anointing. Things get murky, get messy. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 9, it says, esteem, you know those that labor them among you, and esteem them very highly for in love for their work's sake. So that's a part of the love walk. You esteem them highly in love. And I'm not saying exalt a person. We only exalt Jesus. But you esteem leaders. You got to meditate on, how do I esteem them? How do I honor them? That's an honor and love directive. Amen. And when esteem leads, peace leads. Now, we know, we did it in last month and studied Philippians. When the peace of God, Philippians 4, 7, says the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. You can't guard your mind even when there's no peace. But when esteem leaves, peace leaves. Then the anointing stops up, dries up, and the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. It's the ability to get things done. Amen? But some people will sleep, fall asleep in church. Some people won't listen to the message. Some people will. That's dishonorable. They'll be playing video games, texting. And they wonder why all these bad things continue to happen. And they walk around like a victim instead of the victor that they are. Are you listening to me? It's a big deal, folks. Amen. One minister said this, and I'm closing with this thought. He said this. He said, the Lord told him, he said, my people are not getting the full benefit of my ministry, from my ministry gifts. I'm telling you, it's not about me. It's about the office, the grace, and the anointing that comes with that office. And if you don't draw on it, if you don't partake of it, it won't provide and it won't protect. That's why he said, esteem them highly for the love. So you always got to be thinking about it. And you know, thank you, Sister Bailey, for bringing that up during pre-service prayer. You can't forget to pray. People who are, the thief is coming, all they're thinking about is what their situation entails. They don't pray. They don't stay awake when they preach. They don't follow, because he says, submit to those over you in the Lord and obey them. That's hard for some people to swallow. That's those broccoli scriptures. Brussels sprout scriptures. I like broccoli. So, but some people might not like broccoli. But Brussels sprout scriptures. Those are hard scriptures. But why is it there? Is it there to hurt you or hinder you? It's there to help you. So I want you to set your tone right when we talk about this authority and we talk about the thief. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about it Sunday in the context of what the Lord put on my heart, because it really ties into your faith and your faithfulness. Because some people don't realize, they think they're faithful, but they're not. And faithfulness is the standard. God didn't lower the basketball goal to 6 feet, my height, and so that everybody can dunk. He kept it up there at 10 feet. He said, faithfulness is my standard, and when you're faithful, you get blessed. The blessing provides and the blessing protects. Amen. Well, I'm just giving you a little preview for Sunday. Y'all stand with me, please. Thank you.